Thursday, October 1st, 2000. Goodness, October? My goodness, it was just March. October 1st, 2020. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means sometimes getting punched in the face with a play that you really, really like. Monday Night Football, Ravens versus the Chiefs. Man, I like that Marquise Brown over 4 receptions. Saw some people get it 3.5. Thought that was nuts. That number was even available. And then Marquise Brown goes on to drop no less than 3 passes. I think he only had 1 reception on the day. Dropped the rest of them in a game that I thought easily was going to have plenty of passing on both sides. And even though the Ravens were a run-heavy offense, I figured that they were going to have to do some passing to keep up with Kansas City. And with Marquise Brown being being Lamar Jackson's number one target and having caught 5 receptions in the past game, past couple games, and then having the Chiefs give up a good number of receptions to the number one receivers in their prior 2 games, I was like, you know what? 4 seems like a comfortable number. I thought it was a push at worst. But things didn't align. The gambling gods decided to let me keep me humble, and I was pretty, I just sort of mentioned it like it was a passerby on Twitter. I was like, hey, I kind of like this play, and here's why. I laid into it in reality, and it did not work out. Fortunately, I got this little thing called Tiddlywinks. You might have heard of it. It kept me, it softened the blow that day. I keep on talking about it like this was forever ago. It was just like a few days ago, but that has kept me afloat otherwise. Love to Dr. Mike and his family as they are recovering from a family member's illness. Hope everything is good in the home and that the podcast can resume as normal soon. I'm not going to have too long of a monologue here for a couple reasons, and I will talk more about that after the interview. But the couple things that I would have talked about here and that I have been leaning on in my monologues recently have kind of turned into maybe some other developments. And so to not spoil or step on that, I'm going to lay off, and I'll talk more about that after the interview. Couple administrative notes. Those of you that are part of the Better Life Book Club, you've been patiently waiting. You've been hearing me talk about it each week, like, hey, don't worry, the books are on their way. Well, I'm serious this time. The books actually are on their way. My Biggest Bluff by Maria Konnikova is on its way to you. I think I've already chosen the next book for the Better Life Book Club. So coming to you soon will be, I don't say coming to you soon, but coming to you in December, and promptly in December, not at the end of the month, promptly in December, will be At the Sands by David G. Schwartz. So that just released late August. Goodness, I mean, that was like a month ago. Man, time's flying. But that'll be the next book in the Better Life Book Club. You can join the Better Life Book Club by going to patreon.com/thebetterlife. Or if you're not a Patreon person, but you still want to be included, shoot me a DM, shoot me a message, or something like that, and we'll figure something out. Maybe put something on my Shopify or something that allows you to do that. But we'll see. Few of you hit me up, let me know that the levels in the last episode were a little off. I apologize for that. I'll admit, I'll just be real with you. I haven't been great at levels in my podcasting career, and by that I don't nitpick too much, but I try to make sure that the range is acceptable. Last week, I was so, Eric and I recorded, and then I flipped it immediately when we were done recording, and after about 3 to 3.5 hours of podcast recording and editing, I was so eager to get it out. I totally forgot to check the levels before I hit publish or before I exported the file out of my editor. So I apologize for those of you that were wearing down your volume button trying to figure out where the sweet spot was between Eric and I. So, but hey, I promise I'm a professional. Today's guest is Bethany Walsh, Bougie Miles. You can follow her on Twitter at Bougie Miles. BougieMiles.com is also her website. Check her out. She's got a YouTube page. We go through the usual, right? You know, first gambling, first exposure, stuff like that. And we kind of get into where that intersects with travel, how she got into that, stuff like that. Really interesting conversation with a traveler who is also a gambler. Without further ado, Bethany Walsh. I definitely, I can think of one podcast specifically where I was halfway through an interview that had already been kind of difficult to schedule, and I had hit record, but then I had realized that my recording software had frozen and that the file wasn't recording anymore.
Oh,
and
no.
My heart just dropped. It was too far into it to like stop and start again. Because
mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'm very adamant about in podcasting is it is my belief that you can't redo a conversation and get what you've said back, because you've already registered that you've said that, right? It sounds like you're repeating yourself. So to me, if you mess it up, you know, if it needs to be re-recorded, you just need to pick a new day to record. So that way it's like, it's refreshed and everything. So,
right. So tell the truth. Did you tell the person?
Oh yeah. I was like, Miley, hey, I got to let you know. Looks like my recording software. And this was podcasting was still relatively new to most people. So the idea that something could go wrong made sense to most people. I think most guests now have done enough podcasts where they're like, come on, get your stuff together, man. Like,
right.
You know, but this was like 2014, maybe.
I didn't realize you've been doing it that long.
Oh, dude, I've been podcasting since 2011.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, I've been around. Been around. One of these days I'll bore the audience with a background of a little show-by-show background of my journey of podcasting. One of these days.
Yeah, you should definitely do that. I definitely didn't know that. I mean, I guess in my world, like, the minute I met you is the day you were born.
The better life is just it, huh? That's who I am as a podcaster to you. That's fine. Since I started podcasting, The Better Life is the only podcast that I'm doing, and it's kind of crazy. So it's fair actually to think that The Better Life is just who I am and what I do.
Your birth.
Yeah, but it is a little embarrassing when I put out an episode and like the wrong microphone was being used. I was like, I've been doing this for a decade and I still can't get the right microphone to work.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah. So if anybody can recognize the laughing on the other side of this conversation, Bethany Walsh, Bougie Miles, joining us today. Hello.
It's me. Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. You know, as I was thinking, like, okay, podcast guest inviting for me kind of goes in waves, right? I'll think of three or four, send out some invites, kind of go through them. And as I'm finishing like the last guest of that wave, I'll throw out some more feelers. And for some reason, when I was thinking recently of like, hey, who should I have on the show, I was thinking of prior gambling sessions and realized, you know what, I've gambled with Bethany, I've never had her on the show. So I knew it was definitely time to have you on. How have you been, by the way?
I've been great. You know, like lazy, bored, but otherwise fantastic.
Yeah, good. lazy and bored. I'm surprised that you've been able to reach boredom. I don't know if I could tell you the last time that I was truly bored, as in I didn't have anything to do and that I was bothered by that.
Okay, so you know what? I'll go with you on that. I'm not actually bothered by the fact that I'm bored, we'll call it. But definitely, sorry, excuse the dogs.
Fine.
But I am definitely like rewatching seasons 1 through 10 of Big Brother. So I'm going to go ahead and say that's boredom.
I'll let you know. Had you told me like, look, I'm watching 10 seasons of, and it made me fill in the blank, we'd be here all night before I ever got to Big Brother.
I love Big Brother. I subscribe to CBS just to watch the live feeds.
What?
As a matter of fact, I think there was one summer that I didn't sleep for like days because I had to watch it all night.
Oh,
it was
my,
kinda crazy.
Oh yeah. My goodness.
Super fan.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, right.
So you've heard the show, you're familiar with it, you know how we kick this off. Tell us about that first exposure to gambling, as far back as you can remember going, oh, hey, that's what that is.
So I don't think I knew it was gambling, but I remember my dad scratching off a scratch off and cursing.
So you remember the scratching and you remember the expletives, huh?
I swear to you, I was sitting in the car right after the grocery store. I can remember his face and I can remember the scratching and the screaming. But so, yeah.
My parents never did scratch offs, but I vaguely remember my mom doing pull tabs once. Do you remember these?
Pull tabs? What? Yeah. I've seen those, but so like where do you get those?
At like diners and restaurants. So it was this restaurant. The only place I've ever seen them, I shouldn't say that. The only time I saw them for like almost most of my life until I started traveling a little bit more was this restaurant in my hometown. Behind the bar, they had these big like plastic bowls or cases, whatever, and you would buy tabs at like a quarter or a dime a piece, and then you would just pull it open and it would show you like a slot reel, essentially, like one line. And people would put $10, $15, $20 down. They'd get their little pile of pull tabs and they'd just pull them open, hoping to get one that had a pattern that paid. And then the restaurant paid you. There was no, like, I don't know what class of gambling it was, but the restaurant was able to just pay you right there. Yeah, anyway.
Interesting. I've definitely never seen that. I mean, I'm guessing it wasn't really like a regulated activity.
You know, now that I'm really curious. I'd like to hear from someone like Mark Duvall or something like that. That's seen, different types of gambling in different parts of the country. And Eric Rosenthal may have more insight.
Named like my two favorite people. Shout out.
Well, they are, I think, everybody's two favorite people, which is why I continue to mention them. There's a reason why Adam Bauer hasn't been brought up yet.
I was just going to say, hold on, and Adam, so.
Adam and I are working on a collaboration that I think the community is going to enjoy. I'll leave that teaser
out
awesome.
There. That's
awesome. Yeah.
Love it.
But I'm surprised that pull tabs, from what I can remember, has never really been brought up in this community. For all the podcasts, everything, as we talk about all the different types of gambling, I'm sure maybe it's got mentioned, I just didn't think about it, but I can't remember once anybody ever mentioning pull tabs. So,
all right. So Bushy Miles is always a first. Never always remember your first.
Yeah, all right. So you said your dad was doing this. You did, at the time you didn't know it was gambling. How old were you?
Four.
Four. So do you remember how long it took to realize, like, did you have like an aha moment of, oh, that's what he was doing?
Yeah, because they used to let me scratch them. So I knew that there was money at the other end of that, you know,
I see.
The coin.
And how'd you do?
Oh, I always won. You know how like when you're a little kid, you think like you have that special touch. So I just remember that I pretty much always won. I'm sure that's not accurate, but
yeah,
you know, but like, even as I got older, like I remember being 13, I would get like a card for Easter from my mom. And there would be scratch offs in it. So yeah, I mean, that was just like part of like our culture, but they're also not gambling people, just scratch offs.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That does seem consistent with people, that people who don't identify as gamblers are still interested in lottery and scratch offs.
You know what it is? I mean, if you can get it at 7-Eleven, there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
In their minds, or I mean, certainly not mine, but
right.
I think that's the sort of, right? Like when you start to tell people like, oh, you go to gamble, they start to think, oh, so-and-so has a problem, right?
Right. Yeah.
Whereas a scratch off, like I can buy that at Walbaum's or whatever the supermarkets are nowadays.
Right. Inside the 7-Eleven, fine. What you get behind the 7-Eleven, probably not okay.
That's a good point.
So you say at 13, even you're getting cards with scratch offs. And is that still a tradition today? Do you still get scratch offs for holidays, birthdays, et cetera?
Yes, actually. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's cool.
Like if somebody wants to throw a little something in there. Yeah. We do scratch offs.
Yeah. Okay. So then when does Bethany get an interest in gambling past scratching tickets with the coins?
Yeah. So when I started to use my own money was probably in, I want to say high school was when the poker phenomenon was going on.
Yeah.
And so that was my first exposure to gambling, like myself.
So were you and your friends were playing poker, or what did that look like?
Yeah. It was just like me and six girls. yeah. Nice. True story.
Yeah.
And we were always like boys, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, yeah, we would have like our girls night. And then the next night somebody would have a party and we would all go to their house and it would be guys and girls playing. And I thought I was like so good because I won three Texas. Wait, what's the official name? Texas No Limit Hold'em.
Yeah.
Poker tournaments.
Perfect.
Like that's what we, you know, so now it's like a joke when I'm like making fun of people who are going to play like poker. Yeah. I'm like, are you guys playing No Limit Texas Hold'em? Or are you playing like just a card game?
Right. So then, so in high school, you're playing poker. Do you did you start going to casinos once you came of age, or when did that enter your lifestyle?
Yeah, sure. Like of age minus four. At least.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, not saying I did anything wrong,
no.
But I may have.
You went to the casino ventured. Behind the 7-Eleven.
Exactly. With, provisions.
Yeah.
To, you know, to be able to get in the door. And I think we started going to Tropicana in Atlantic City at first. And that was around, I would say like 18, 19. And then honestly, after the first trip to AC, I was hooked. There was no like going back.
Playing then at that age? Were you finding the poker room still, or were you playing table games, slots? Like when you started going to casinos, what were you playing?
Yeah. So it was always blackjack.
Always blackjack. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about,
little bit of roulette.
Okay. And just because you had familiarity with them, you had interest in them, what drew you to those games?
I guess it was the fact that like I didn't like slots, and still to this day I love poker because I love the strategy, but I lack the what's the word I'm looking for?
The patience.
Discipline.
And discipline. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So like every once in a while I'll be able to play poker, and this is even the same back then. But like, I don't know, being like 18, 19, having like $200 and thinking it's a ton of money, you know, and buying into like a $10 blackjack table, that was exciting.
Yeah. Okay. And then when do you start getting into what you're more known for now in travel and perks and stuff like that?
That was like very happenstance. That was a like melting pot of the two things I was really good at just happening to come together and me being like, whoa, I can combine like my two greatest loves in life into a career.
Yeah.
I didn't even, honestly, when I started gambling, I did not have the travel bug at all. I like wouldn't even take, like when we became of age and we could actually go to like real casinos and Vegas and stuff, like I didn't even want to take days off to leave. Like I was like such a workaholic, you know? Yeah. And then, yeah, all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, I can actually travel with these points and like cross them over. And I was just like blown away. It was so cool. So that's, it really happened like totally separately.
So it sort of comes together like that. As of today, September 30, 2020, do you consider yourself a traveler who likes to gamble or a gambler who likes to travel?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. I guess a traveler who likes to gamble, but I mean, if we're going to like the heart of it, which one could I not live without? It's probably the Vegas and AC and Bahamas trips.
Look, travel. So, I like travel the most, but if you're going to tie me down to cities where I can gamble, damn it.
Exactly. Like if I have to pick, there's like, you know,
yeah.
One or the other, I'm going with gambling.
You know,
but yeah, I think I'm a traveler who likes to gamble. What about you?
Well, I seem blasphemous having a gambling podcast saying this, but I also think I might call myself a traveler who likes to gamble. Not that one comes first or then the other one comes second, but you know, I definitely look for opportunities to gamble where I travel. That's for sure. And of course, in the past few years, have done a better job of focusing my travel around opportunities and perks that come with gambling and such. But you know, travel, I think, just has a tick above, mostly because as a sports bettor, I can kind of take gambling with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that helps. But yeah, I think just by a hair, I would call myself a traveler who likes to gamble.
Oh, I love it. I didn't know that. So we'll chat separately about all that later. But
yeah, so it started with, now that we've gotten here, thank you, Bethany, it's a pleasure being on your show here. I really appreciate you having me. But I remember being on post in Algiers, Algeria. I never really traveled before, right? The only travel I did through being a child and a teenager and stuff was like in my region. And then I joined the military and I crossed the Mississippi for the first time. And then it's not until I'm 24 that I leave the country other than going to Tijuana or White Rock, Canada, both of which are like less than a half hour over the border on either side. Right. So I leave the country for the first time. I end up in Algiers, Algeria, of all places, right? And I remember now the world has opened up to me, and now I have financial security to travel when given the opportunity. I remember it was like it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd be on post and I would just spend hours looking up travel to other parts of Europe and like looking up hostels and looking up flights and looking up things to do. I took maybe two of those trips, right, that I had researched and fantasized hours on. And if, you know, there's plenty of research that shows that that planning a trip is really good for your brain, actually, even if you don't take the trip. So when I say I'm pretty sure I'm a traveler who likes to gamble, it's because the early part of me becoming a traveler had nothing to do with gambling. I sort of adapted my enjoyment to gambling into it as time went on, and now they're much more closely related.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah. And where did you see that stat, by the way? I know that I'm asking you all the questions and that's not how this is supposed to go, but I'm just... I'm sorry. I mean, this is what happens when you're friends. You could just talk.
Right. I'll look for it. I'll find, it's an article that I may have read about like 10 years ago. Maybe a little less than that. And I've heard people say it since then. I'll find a good reliable source that talks about that.
I would love that. I mean, that's interesting, and it also makes sense because I'm convinced that I've only gotten smarter over the years, and like now I know why. That's got to be part of it.
I
plan a lot of trips that I don't take,
right?
So
I'm drinking a beverage that I don't really think is carbonated, but it is producing a lot of
bubbles.
Yeah,
what is it?
Kombucha.
Oh, you know, that's like my life, right?
I did not know that's your life. GT's kombucha.
Yeah, what flavor?
Guava goddess.
Okay, that's a little sour, but all right. Yeah, I drink three bottles a day, and it's very, very fizzy.
Yes, yeah, it's much more fizzy than I gave it credit for, which is why if anybody hears me releasing some gas from my stomach, that is why. But you know, podcast marketing works. The podcast called Fake Doctors, Real Friends, the Scrubs Rewatch Show, they talk about this stuff. And after enough times of hearing them mention it through a sponsorship, I was like, oh, look, there it is. And I had it once and I've enjoyed it. And I don't drink it often, but I always get at least one bottle of it each time I go to the grocery store.
Oh, but do you get a headache?
No.
Okay, because usually, like, unless you're a regular drinker, you get headaches.
Oh, why would I get a headache?
It's a detox.
Oh.
Yeah. It, like, when I first started, like, I would get a headache. And
I'm
then,
also
like...
a drinker, so.
Right. No, I know.
Well, I'm saying, I mean, is it any worse than a hangover? Which is why I may not be saying I get headaches, because I may be getting a headache and not even realize, because if it's not a hangover, I don't notice it.
Well, if your skin breaks out, that's the kombucha. It's like a total detox. And so when you do it like regularly enough, the symptoms go away because you're totally detoxed, even if you drink. Because I'm drinking rosé right now, and I don't even want to say what time it is because it's now 5 o'clock.
You know, I don't think it really, it may not be 5 o'clock somewhere, but it is 2020 everywhere. So drink whenever you want.
Wait.
Yeah, let's touch on that actually. So, you know, the pandemic happens, things like Gamblapalooza get canceled, other trips and events and travel in general really tightens down. When it comes to limited travel, casinos kind of having a hard time reopening with confidence. What part of all of this inside of the realm that you are actively involved in are you most sort of disappointed or frustrated with?
I think just traveling in general. So I'm not somebody who can like get in an RV or take a road trip because I get super car sick. So I'm used to like flying everywhere or maybe going to Atlantic City. Even that at this point has been like, ugh, we have to get in a car and drive 3.5 hours to Atlantic City where I can do the same, like, and almost be in Vegas.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it's that. And definitely the first thing I want to do, well, the first thing I am doing is going to Vegas, obviously, because I mean, the deals are so crazy right now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not want to do that first? And since they're all coming back and everything.
Yeah.
Now, what's that? What are you thinking?
Sorry, that's me. Look, I mentioned it in my monologue, which so you haven't heard it yet, but I have family members who have gotten COVID. I had one recently pass who was also positive.
Oh, God,
COVID.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so it's where my size coming is just as I was sort of getting sort of like I was hyping myself to be like, okay, you can take baby steps back into doing some of these things again. This, you know, granted my family is further away and you know, I don't see it. It's not like I'm exposed to them, but the reality of it hit me again of like, nope, I probably gotta be more conservative than I really want to be for the sake of my health. So I still have February circled on my calendar as a possible Vegas trip, but yeah, we'll see. So I envy you if in the confidence to take such trips.
Yeah, it's tough, but you keep drinking that kombucha. I'm telling you.
I will. Why? I mean, I just drink my bottle. I have to go back to the store. I have to make another grocery run to get another bottle.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, listen, I did it from April to now. And, you know, I realize that they're getting better at keeping us safe. I realize it's not like foolproof, but there are definitely some precautions that I plan to take to protect my health while I'm traveling. And I feel like for me, Vegas is the perfect first step to get back into it. Also, like, you know how they say like mental health is also part of it?
Yeah.
For me, it's like, I'm like, okay, I feel healthy. Like I feel good, but I've got to get back out there.
Yeah. Look, if I don't lose some money at the craft table soon, I'm going to go nuts.
Yeah. I'm going crazy, man. Like yeah. I would put like money on like how many times my cat went to the litter box in a day. Like
what's the over under? I'll get action on that.
Yeah. It's like six, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, I have to know the diet and everything, but I might get action on that. So you start out with poker, blackjack and roulette early on. You and I have played craps before. Like if you went into a casino right now, everything was open. You could walk up to any table you want. Where do you go? Like what's your preferred game now?
I wanted to give you just one answer to this question, but I have to be honest, there's like a couple of different answers and there's a reason.
Okay.
I love to wear big heels.
Okay.
So the big heels don't fare that well at the craps table.
I was going to say, I don't know where this is going. And again, like, look, I like to wear big heels, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm tracking. I don't know how this applies to, but I get it. Heels at the craps table, I can imagine it's not very, very comfortable.
Yeah. So that's sort of a problem. So like daytime, like just coming back from the pool, I'm in my Toms, I'm at the craps table. Otherwise, nighttime, like I'm with a group of people or just by myself, I'm definitely playing blackjack or pie gow, depending on how much I'm losing.
Okay.
So table games is your easy answer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting the name wrong, I think, in the message that I sent to you. What is this game?
Oh, Play MGM, you said, but yeah, it's like MGM Rewards, like My Vegas.
My Vegas. There we go. The My Vegas app.
Occasionally, I knew what you meant.
Thank you. Occasionally when I go on the My Vegas app, it will tell me that I have been gifted some chips from Bethany Walsh.
I'm really generous. I'm a giver for sure.
I can see that. Yeah, I go in there. I'm like, oh look, Bethany has sent me more chips. How nice of her. I'm really bad at reciprocating such things, but I do appreciate the chips. Do you play the game for fun? Do you extract any value from using the tokens? What do you use the tokens for? How are you using that app?
Okay, so I don't know if you remember, but you, I, and Adam, of course you remember, did a live. We did a live stream on my YouTube channel.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember, but we had at least 3 questions about My Vegas.
I do remember the topic coming up. Because when I sent you that question, I remember us having brought it up on that stream, but I couldn't remember what the subject matter, like what the questions specifically were.
Yeah. And so Adam and I kind of looked at each other like, oops, like we've never redeemed a reward before. Oh. And so I said, I owe it to everybody who comes to Bougie Miles to like figure this out, to tell them what the bougiest way to do it is. So I recently, I literally when I tell you I'm rewatching Big Brother, I'm rewatching Big Brother while pressing the slot app on all 4 of the My Vegas apps.
Yikes.
Just and the readers.
That is not kidding. That is commitment. Commitment. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
have you cashed in any rewards yet? So I've yes. only you have. Okay. Mm-hmm. What have you cashed in?
So I've done 2 so far and I'm so excited about it.
Okay.
The first one is I got an Uber Eats gift card.
Oh, okay.
I mean, how awesome is that? They also have Amazon gift cards. They have Uber Eats. They have DoorDash. But this is like a new thing. It's called My Home. So I was supposed to write about it before I told anybody, but who cares?
Wait,
the Better
now?
Life, Bougie Miles. It's all the same. Right. So I cashed in like, I don't know, basically like 2 days worth of work for a $20 gift card.
Nice.
For Uber Eats. Yeah. And then you can also get a $30 Amazon gift card. And then I also wanted to make sure I did like a real redemption. And since I'm going to Vegas beginning of November, I figured it was safe because I think you have to use your rewards within 60 days. So I did 2 glasses of champagne at Prime at Bellagio for like, I want to say 27,000 points. And to give like the listeners reference, if you're working really hard and just watching TV, doing nothing, sitting on the couch, you could probably earn like 27,000 points in like a couple days.
Yeah. So. I've only used it to, I've claimed coffee and pastries.
Okay. So can you tell me about like what did you do and how did you claim it?
So, this is the only experience I have with this, but, MGM National Harbor, just down the road. They are a partner, obviously, mm-hmm. in the rewards section. On multiple occasions, I've gotten coffee and a pastry. I go to the M Life Rewards desk. They ensure that the reward is placed on my M Life card, and then I go to the coffee shop where I'm getting my said pastry and coffee, and I guess the items are there, the comps right there on my card.
Interesting. It almost sounds like the Diamond Dinner process.
Yes. Yeah, maybe. How many times? I guess I've done that a few times too. I don't
Oh,
remember
I
how.
always forget. I forget every time.
Yeah, no, I guess I've done the Diamond Dinner a few. I've done it once or twice. I've done it twice, I think, at Baltimore, Horseshoe Baltimore, and I've done it once in Vegas. But I think those were. I think they actually gave me a vow. I don't even remember. This is what this whole year has done. Everything prior to March 2020 is a blur. Whatever happened
Yep.
back then, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, because I remember Han telling me exactly how he did it. And
Yeah.
like now I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be the same now. You know, like what are people doing today? I don't know. It's just, yeah, you're 100% right. Everything
Yeah.
this year is so crazy that we've almost forgotten like how we do things in life.
So you go by Bougie Miles. Tell people who are unfamiliar both with you and the concept of bougie what that means. What sort of content are you delivering to your audience?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing to do is to explain to people how to spell it. I mean, okay, so listen, I mean, originally I thought, wow, because people would always say, like, oh, Bethany is bougie AF. And I was like, wow, bougie Miles is so perfect. Well, think of two things. Number one, people always call it boogie, like booger, boogie Miles. And then the other thing is think about the abbreviation. Yeah. So it's like,
Oh
it's,
yeah.
yeah, yeah. So I thought about it, but clearly didn't think it out that well. So it's Bougie. And basically, my whole concept is how to use like credit cards, casino loyalty, and hotel and airline loyalty programs to maximize your spending to get luxury travel. That's it.
That's it.
Yep. It's like leveraging what amount you want to spend in getting the most luxury out of it, which is obviously why Vegas comes up so often.
Yeah.
Also because there's so many casino and hotel like loyalty crossover programs that it's sort of just like, yeah, my playground.
Yeah, so I mean it's a couple it's about a month and a half old, but you've recently published a review on Founders Card, which is a perennial question that it comes up in this community. Is Founders Card worth it? A lot of people are looking at that, are asking that question through the lens of, or like they're looking at the Caesars Rewards benefits specifically. Anybody who has other things to benefit from it, you know, that answer changes a little bit. From what you saw, and you can apply this to the current situation we're in with the pandemic. You can answer without it. But from your point of view, what conclusion did you come through on the Founders Card?
So for me, the answer is yes. I actually have the elite membership, which I know a lot of
Ooh.
people have questions about, but don't know anybody who has it. So I would say probably no on that, but yes to the regular Founders Card membership. For me, both pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, I found that it's valuable.
So,
And go ahead.
I'll say, what value are you getting from it post-pandemic?
So they have some retail benefits for people who like nice things, which
Gotcha.
again, I realize is not applicable to everybody. Like I buy
Right.
my skincare from Mr. Porter and and it's $200 off a $500 order.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that easy. Other people are like, are you freaking insane? You
Right.
know? But then there's also other things like just a Zoom membership. I think you get 15 to 25% off of Zoom memberships.
Oh, okay.
Things like that, you know? So I, to me, the better deal you get on it, like there was a while where you could get it for $99 from like a leaked link. I say go for that all day
Right.
because you only have to come up with $100. And
Yeah.
that's easy to do.
That is
Also,
very
the
easy to do.
hotel discounts are phenomenal
Yeah.
and people don't talk about them enough. Like Cosmo, every time I go to Cosmo, I get the absolute best deal you can get. And I have a partner rate because I know somebody who worked for the company that owns them.
Huh.
Still do better with Founders Card.
Is Cosmo, I remember we all gave Cosmo a lot of love in that live stream that we did. Are they still your preferred hotel in Vegas?
So for this upcoming trip, I'm going to split it between Sky Suites at Aria and Cosmo, because we have like status and comps at Cosmo just based on their lowest elite status. And then Sky Suites because I'm okay with spending a little bit more this trip since I think it's going to be the best socially distancing option.
Yeah.
Especially for the pool because it's a private pool.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not, yeah. So that kind of gave me a little bit of extra, security. And then also what M Life does, which is pretty cool, is they apply the amount of the comp they're willing to give you toward an upgraded room. Not everybody will do that. They'll say like, you either take the upgraded room or you just pay. Right.
Right.
But M Life will give you basically like, okay, well, if our rooms are $200 this night, we'll subtract that from the Sky Suites price. And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Also recently published, Amex offers, I feel like if you're in this space and you're not in this space, if you're in your space and not talk about Amex offers, what are you doing? It feels like everybody is talking about, the newly refreshed Amex offers. You specifically were talking about MGM offers as it relates to this. With that, you don't have to give us the whole spiel here, but, what did you find here that listeners should know about?
So that's another reason I'm staying at the Sky Suites, right? Because I'm getting a minimum of 20% either cash or points back from my Amex offers for staying, like basically for combining rates. Amex offers is a way to save money on things you are already spending money on. And you just have to like add them to your card. You know what's funny? So I ran into Jay in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And his wife, I want to say her name was Joyce. I hope it was. She's such a sweet woman. You know, she was like asking me about what I do and everything. And I was trying to explain it to her. And Jay gave me like the best answer of what an Amex offer is. I was like, why aren't you like doing what I do? So I guess it's applicable to casinos everywhere, which I know it is because you can also use it at like MGM Harbor and they have recurring MGM offers as well as Caesars. And obviously they do Marriott, which is Cosmo. So
yeah,
it's useful across the board.
So for my listeners, you know, I mean, Eric was on the show long enough that people are pretty familiar with some of this stuff. But for listeners that are maybe unfamiliar, I mean, what is exactly an Amex offer? Do they is having an American Express in their wallet simply enough, or is there a certain card they need?
No, actually, having any American Express card, even a like one of their debit cards, which is called like Serve and Bluebird. I don't know the logistics of those because I don't have them, but as long as it has an Amex logo, it's eligible for Amex offers. Basically, it just says if you add this offer to your card, so you go onto your account, you add the offer, and you will save $50 on a $250 purchase at this store.
Wow.
That's it. Yeah. And it's like the best thing ever when it's a store that or store or like hotel chain or casino that you're actually going to spend money at. You're like, oh, lotto.
So this is something that's, so I don't know if you know the answer to this, but so I have an Amex that I have through my bank. Is that the same thing as have, it does count.
It does. Yes.
Okay. I've always wondered that as I've, when people talk about American Express, I'm like, does mine count? Like it's technically through my bank, but I get it now.
All you have to do is sign up for an Amex account with that card.
Oh,
yeah, that's it.
How do I do that?
Right. Well, I was just going to say, and if you can't figure that out, just call them.
So what type of casino offers? I don't know what you've been getting through this summer, but, you know, as someone who likes to travel, someone who likes the bougie lifestyle, like what does a casino have to offer you to get you interested in coming to their casino, either as a day trip or somewhere to stay?
So this is probably gonna like shock people. It's for me, it's not about comps. It's about how many hotel points I'm gonna get from my stay at a casino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, for example, the other reason I'm considering Sky Suites, which, you know, normally I'm just taking a comp at Cosmo, right? Because it's not gonna cost me any money, but I'm willing to spend the extra $300 to stay at the Sky Suites because I'm also getting, on top of the Amex offer, on top of credit for M Life, I'm also getting a ton of Hyatt points, like World of Hyatt, the hotel chain. And for me, like, it's approximately 60% back. So whatever I spend, I'm getting, in my value, 60% back in World of Hyatt points. And I love Hyatt points because they have some of the nicest hotels around the world. And I love anything where I can basically stay at a casino, play at a casino, eat at a casino, and then take the credit. Like, most people are just happy with a couple of dollars in comps, or they want, like, you know, no resort fees or whatever.
Yeah.
I want all that spend to count toward what I do in my everyday life and the rest of my trips. Hmm. So for me, it's about what, wherever I'm getting the best hotel return on investment.
So you're almost looking at it from a what, so if I'm understanding this correctly, you're approaching your these goings to Vegas, casino trips, stuff like that, is what will benefit me the most after I'm done with this trip. Yeah. Almost. Oh, that's really mm-hmm. interesting. I that's something I don't hear that often.
Right.
Yeah. It's all, we always talk about how can you get the most out of your actual trip. But you're thinking what's going to set me up to be able to get the most value from the things I do after my trip.
Exactly. Cause I know I'm doing both. Of course, while I'm at the casino, I'm still looking for things like free food and, you know, waived resort fees, but the two are not exclusive.
Right.
So, like, you can very well stack your rewards by utilizing the ones, like, while you're there. Because, like, the players' programs, no matter how much you play, they're not going to give you points and miles in other programs. They're just basically giving you your hotel offers for that casino or that brand. And then, like, you know, little things like free breakfast or whatever else, like, some of them are up to your host and some of them are just standard. So I'm still taking advantage of those. But yeah, I'm looking for like how, like, you know, I want my money back. I want like a return on investment. How am I getting that?
A question, and some people may be rolling their eyes at some of these questions, is I am definitely hitting ones that are probably asked multiple times throughout the year, each year, but things change. New people are exposed. I think some of these questions are worthy of asking every so often because we're gamblers. Credit cards that are branded or associated with certain casinos, any value in those? M Life has one, Caesars Rewards have one. I know there's others. Do you see any value there?
Yeah, they have their uses. For example, let's say, like, I don't have any of them, but it's only because I have options that are better for my lifestyle, which is traveling to places other than Vegas as well.
Yeah.
But for example, like the, I think it's an M Life Rewards MasterCard. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
I think I did a review, and basically it's, if you want a no fee card that's going to give you a couple of benefits and allow you to do things like hop the line, then yeah, they're absolutely useful. You know, they also give you free parking. Pretty much everybody is doing free parking right now,
right?
But for Atlantic City, and not as much as it is for Vegas, but like, that's kind of a big deal, especially in Vegas where they're wanting to charge you like 15. I've never actually taken a car to Vegas, but I know that it's somewhere between like $10 and $25, right?
Yeah.
For whichever casino. So yeah, they're offering free parking. And then also, I have zero patience for like anything in life. So if I'm waiting more than 10 minutes, like, you know, my hourly rate is going down. That's just how I look at everything.
Right.
I'm always like, I don't know, this is like $8, $10. And also when you actually get to your casino and you just want to like go and enjoy yourself and you have to wait on, have you ever seen the line at like Aria or Bellagio on a weekend morning?
Like check-in and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I can't say that I have.
Well, they're bananas. It's like, you're like wondering, am I going to be here for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Also in Borgata, they have the same thing.
Sure.
It's always a long line. So yeah, they allow you to go on the VIP line or what is M Life Gold. And yeah, I think it's definitely worth it for people who are not in the like miles and points game and just looking for a card that's going to give them some kind of benefit. Absolutely. I see no harm in it.
Okay. So I think to wrap this up, I think looking at what you see in casinos, what you're seeing in traveling, what you're seeing out of credit cards, anything that you would think that that you consider to be sort of in your purview over there at Bougie Miles, what's something that's happened, currently happening, on the cusp of happening that you think might be a sort of a long-term effect due to the pandemic? And you can answer that question however you want.
Well, I will.
What I mean is don't confine your answer to anything I've said. Like take it somewhere, even if I didn't bring you there.
Yeah, so that's actually what I was going to do, because I don't know if anyone knows, but he sends the questions out ahead of time.
Don't give all my secrets away.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people ask for the questions, so it just cracks me up because I'm like, I don't know, we're just going to like talk about like a topic that we have like a mutual interest in, which you can usually tell what that topic is, right? For your friend or like the person you're having on. But yeah, I guess I learned to ask too from just people who come on like my stuff and ask me so many questions. I'm like, oh my God, we're just going to talk about miles and points. Like, what else do you need to know? But yeah, so anyway. Point being, something that I don't see people or casinos doing post-pandemic that I wish that they really would is like, why are we not talking about like proliferating or like adding substantial outdoor gaming to most casinos?
Yeah.
Why is that not a bigger focus for all of these casinos?
That's a really good question. I know that, you know, I know that we're seeing, I've seen like Horseshoe Baltimore technically expanded some outdoor. It's outdoor in a sense that there's not much of a ceiling, but it's like in this confined space that's still like, you can't like, you don't see any outdoors. There's just really no ceiling or any, there's the way the ventilation is set up. So I don't know if that's really considered outdoor gaming. Where else have I been? I've been places to where like, they'll have slot machines on a terrace or something like that, but that's still even, you know, that's about it. That's a great point. Why isn't there? Well, I imagine exposing your games to the elements is probably the biggest hesitation or the biggest liability that you have in having any sort of outdoor gaming.
Well, okay, so let's look at it like, we know that the Vegas, what do they call, like clubs? So I'm not a clubber. I think that probably surprises most people. I don't go to clubs in Vegas, but they all have outdoor tables, or at least most of them. And then if you go to the Bahamas, which a lot of the people who are interested in this world do, like if you go to the Atlantis, right, they have a really nice outdoor gaming pit. And I just like, it seems like a no-brainer at this moment in time where like, A, your clubs are not even open.
Yeah.
So why aren't you opening these amazing spaces? Like if Atlantis can figure it out in the Bahamas, this is like probably 6 years ago, I remember going and like, I remember being a little expensive because they were the only outdoor tables there. But again, if it was more of a thing, it wouldn't, you know, be such a commodity. And, you know, it's like a really great way for people to enjoy what they love and also feel a little bit more secure. Like, wouldn't you feel a little more secure if you were like just genuinely out in the open?
I see. So like health-wise, like what I feel more comfortable. Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that I've seen some of the big corporations talk about, I haven't seen as many of the smaller one-off casinos talk about. And I'm curious if you're following, if you're listening and following on Twitter, please tweet at me at the Better Life and tell me what you've seen in your local casino. But I mean, I would like to just know that, like, the ventilation system has been updated. You know, yeah. Like, tell me that my air is being filtered better as it cycles through the casino. You know, the
valid point.
Yeah, like, you know, I, as everybody learns more and experiences more with this whole situation, you know, I have become, obviously we want to make sure that surfaces and stuff are clean, people being sanitary, stuff like that. But I mean, you don't need to wipe down every chip before I touch it. I just want, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm not directly breathing the spit that just came out of your mouth. You know, like right. That's my biggest concern right now is the, like, how air is moving from one human being to another. And I mean, I think so long as people are washing their hands regularly and not, like, messing with their face the second they stop, they touch common surfaces, I think masks and proper ventilation are probably the two major things that casinos can do to make people feel comfortable, or at least actually make them safer. So yeah, outdoor seating would definitely, I think, help that. Right now, I think post-pandemic, there's definitely, that would definitely be very comfortable, be fun, there'd be a sense of luxury to it. I think currently, I think there'd be too many people, maybe big corporations would do a good job of handling this, but I think smaller one-offs maybe have a struggle. But I think people would think because they're outside that they're safer, which means that they wouldn't have to do the rest of the protocol.
Well, listen, I mean, we can't help tragedy of the commons.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying, I would prefer to sit outside if that was an option, but I wouldn't be surprised if I wasn't out there as long as I wanted to, because others were not being as, you know, mm-hmm. As aware of this, of what they should be doing, or not. But, yeah, that long ramble to say, yeah, sitting outside, yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it seems like I kept thinking, like, oh, there's definitely going to be more outdoor gaming options, because, like, I'm telling you, I think it must have been my first Atlantis trip back in, like, back when Atlantis was the largest casino in the Caribbean. That was definitely like somewhere between 6 and 8 years ago, and they had craps tables, blackjack, pie-gow. And it was all like minimum of $50. But again, if that was something that was a little bit more common, it wouldn't be as expensive, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember it being so cool and thinking, oh, this is definitely going to make a comeback. And I haven't seen anybody say, hey, we're introducing outdoor gaming, and I'm so bummed about it.
Yeah. I remember playing, anybody who's been to the Flamingo, and I'm sure there's other pools that mm-hmm. have it, but, you know, I played that little craps tub that they had at the yes. Flamingo pool. And that's fun, right? It was cool to be outside and enjoy the nice weather and in the shade and, you know, in casual, you know, in my swim trunks. So you're right. I think I am interested to see. I wonder if part of that, now Vegas, of course, is a area where I think they could think about that more year round. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if you look at the priority list of, like, Atlantic City wouldn't benefit from that for more than 5 or 6 months out of the year, right?
Right.
And
right.
So I think priority one was make it so people will come inside. Priority two would probably be, well, what can we do to get them out? You know, is there an option for outside? In Vegas, I think you could probably combine those two things if you wanted to expand that way. In other parts of the country, I mean, even in, like, places like Biloxi, where, you know, you have to think about, okay, do we want outdoor gaming that could be exposed to a possible tropical storm? Or, like, you know, so... You know, like, I'm sure we can make it safe for rain, but how much do we need to want to bolt down a whole bunch of tables to make sure they don't fly away if there's a storm that comes through? So
that's a good point too. Well, I mean, yeah, but, like, if you look at ocean, because I think that they're never really sure if they're going to have, because this is going back to the days of Revel, right? Like, the tables are all on wheels.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they're ever really sure it's going to take there.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, let's just put them on wheels. That way, if we need to move them around, you know.
Yeah. So I think for climates like Vegas. I think it's a really interesting idea to expand outdoor gaming. I think industry wide, I think climate dictates, and if you can't have it there for more than half the year, is it really worth investing in that? Maybe it is. I don't know. But that'd be one of the first things that I would think of is our climate really going to support the investment in both building the infrastructure, employing the staff that has to both run the tables and maintain, you know, like you said, bringing the tables in and out if there's a storm, you know, how long do we keep it? You know, is it worth bringing the tables outside to then see storm clouds in an hour and start bringing stuff back inside? You know, like, yeah.
Is it all totally valid?
Yeah. but all the, you know, again, coming back to your point, I am also surprised too, now that you say it, that outdoor gaming has not been a larger part of the conversation of how to adapt to the current situation.
Yeah, just a little bit. Give me a couple of tables by the pool. That's all I really want.
Yeah. Well, look, if anybody wants to come visit, I'll set up a little tub in my backyard and we can get a little crafts game going.
Sold.
Bethany, it has been a pleasure talking to you. I'm so glad we finally connected and got you on. Tell everybody where they can find Bougie Miles.
Yeah, so bougiemiles.com, and you can go from there. But definitely please subscribe on YouTube, because I need subscribers. Like, whoa, have to get to 1,000. And this year I am donating, well, my first year of operation, I'm donating all of my profits to dog rescue. So it also helps a good cause. Yeah.
Very good. Bethany, I hope it's not too much longer before you and I are throwing dice again in our highest of heels yes. at a casino somewhere in the United States. Who knows? We may have to leave the U.S. to find a casino safe going to before too long. But I hope we get to do that sooner than later.
Me too. I miss it.
So those of you that participate every couple of weeks in the fake questions to be asked to a guest, well, not fake questions, but the questions to be asked to a unknown guest on Twitter, I ask, hey, without knowing who the guest is, what are your questions? You probably noticed I didn't ask any of them. That was just a mind slip. I had them written down and somehow I ended up closing the interview without getting through that item on my list. So thank you for participating in that. Please do not let this be an indication that it's not worth submitting those fun questions. Please continue to do so. This episode was just sort of a slip of the mind. Okay, let's talk let's talk future. Let's talk content. A lot of you liked the Office episodes with gambling in them. The little scenes that I clipped and setting them up, playing them, and then commenting on them. A lot of you seem to like that. Gambling in casinos and that type of stuff in TV and in movies is a fun topic and one that we always sort of come back around to in this community, in the podcasting segment and sector especially. We like talking about scenes that have gambling in them, or shows and movies that are focused specifically on casinos and gambling in Vegas and stuff like that. Well, so The Better Life right now is a show that goes out every other week. Fingers crossed, every other week. I am going to attempt, and I'm going to give myself the fourth quarter of 2020 as a trial period, okay? So if I decide against this, I'll at least see this through the end of 2020. But I'm going to attempt to get The Better Life back to a weekly podcast by doing this. I'm going to continue doing interview-based episodes like this one every other week. That's still going to happen. In the other weeks, there's going to be two rotating series that will address their own subjects. One of them is going to be travel. It's going to look at travel through the lens of a gambler, as a casino goer. It's going to be a conversation that definitely involves gambling and has that forward, but where we can maybe get a little more into the nuances or some of the more fun things that may be happening around certain areas that you get to travel to that isn't necessarily about gambling, but a nice blend of the two. If you're connecting the dots, I mentioned what this show, who may also be on this show in my conversation with Bethany. The other one is going to be a series that looks at casino gambling scenes, movies, TVs. And like, I know that's been done enough. And I think the big question is, well, what more can I bring to the table? A couple of things that I think that might make this series a little bit different is it's not necessarily going to look specifically at series and movies that are about gambling or about casinos, but maybe more similar to my segment about The Office last week or 2 weeks ago, where here's a show completely not about gambling, but here's instances where it was brought up, and then talking about both what the reality is of that scene when it comes to real life, right? Like when someone says, hey, when someone wants to point out to you that they don't gamble, what that, you know, how amusing that is. And then also commenting a little bit on, you know, about the show itself, not getting into the weeds of it, but in the context of that scene, who's performing it, maybe, you know, have they been involved in it, for what we know, have they been involved in other gambling related material, stuff like that. So that's going to be something I attempt at doing. I am going to have a co-host for that series as well. That will be, you know, those of you who are smart enough to figure it out could probably guess who it might be, but I'm going to leave it to be a surprise closer to the first episode. So this is sort of how in the first month of this going back to a weekly episode trial, the way the next 4 weeks would look is today interview episode with Bethany. Next week, travel focused. The following week, interview episode. The following week, looking at TV and movies through the gambling lens, stuff like that. So that is sort of going to be the rhythm for the Better Life for the next 3 months. I hope that it goes well. I'm rambling about this. We're going to we're going back to weekly episodes. You're going to love it, I believe. Follow me on Twitter at The Better Life. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show. TheBetterLife.us/merch is where you can cop some t-shirts. You know all the plugs. Thank you so much for your patronage. Thank you so much for your time. I know listening to podcasts is something people are doing less of right now. So it just, I appreciate so much that you take the time to listen to this show. I'm Timothy Lawson on behalf of Bethany Walsh. Good night. Good luck.